Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continue with the subject of aqaid, shirk. The natural meaning of shirk is to ascribe partners in terms of the sharia, to associate another as a partner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his exclusive attributes, his will, his obedience, his being, and to hold anyone equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is termed as shirk. Some types of shirk. Shirk in his being. To hold somebody equal to the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example, the Christian belief of Trinity, idol worship of the Hindus and Buddhists, and worship of ancestors. Shirk in his attributes, to state that special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, example a Nabi or a Wali, shares his exclusive attributes. This can be of many types. Shirk in knowledge. The attribute of knowledge, that is all the knowing, is an exclusive attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To ascribe this attribute in any way to a human being by saying, for example, our Shaykh has knowledge of all our deeds and actions, or the Anbiya'i Salam and the martyrs possess the complete knowledge of the ghaib, the unseen, is shirk. The knowledge of many unseen things and events, example angels, Jannah and Jahannam, etc., has been conveyed or granted to the Anbiya'i Salam by Allah Ta'ala. Complete and intrinsic possession of the knowledge of the ghaib is not the attribute of any created being. Number two, shirk in power. To believe that a created being, example a Nabi or Shaykh, etc., has the power of giving life and death, or he can cause good or bad to happen. Hence, to believe that a certain Shaykh has the power to fulfill one's needs, or has the power to give sustenance, etc., is all termed as shirk. Number three, shirk in hearing and seeing. To believe that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing, similarly our Shaykh or Nabi can also hear and see all our actions, no matter how far or near they are. Number four, shirk in worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being worthy of worship. Performing those actions to anyone else which Allah Ta'ala has commanded His servants to do in His honor is shirk. Example, salah, fasting, qurbani, bowing or prostrating before living saints or their graves, making tawaf of graves, back trotting away from the graves in show of excessive veneration of the grave, to call out unto anyone says Allah Ta'ala, and to believe that the one called from far has the power to harm and benefit, or to take an oath in the name of anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to photograph somebody and show respect to the photograph, these and many similar acts are all acts of shirk. Bid'ah, innovation. Bid'ah literally means innovation. In the terms of sharia, it is the introduction of a new deed in deen, which, firstly, cannot be substantiated from the Quran and the Hadith. Or, number two, it did not exist in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Tabi'een, and during the period of their followers, that is the Tabi'een. To take such an innovation as an internal part of deen and thereby act upon it, or conversely, to take an integral aspect of deen as being non-essential and thereby shun it, will also be treated as bid'ah. Similarly, to apply or to specify certain conditions to a permissible act of sharia, which has no basis in the sharia, will also fall within the scope of bid'ah. Bid'ah is a major sin after kufr and shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that to introduce a new thing in deen is bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads one to the fire of hell. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, the 28th juz was recited in the Taraweeh Salam. In the first surah, Al-Mujadala, One ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah mentioned, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نُهُوا عَنِ النَّجْوَى, that don't you see those people who have been prevented from holding secret meetings, ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ, but these people had returned to what they had been prevented from, and وَيَتَنَاجَوْنَ بِإِثْمِ الْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ, and they secretly convened conspicuous sins and transgressions and disobeying the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the background of this verse, the Shahr al-Nuzul, is that the Jews and the Munafiqeen, that they used to sometimes stand alongside the streets and gaze very frighteningly and glare at the Muslims who used to pass. Sometimes they used to wink at each other, and sometimes they used to whisper to each other, and they used to try to cause harm to the Muslims. So this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prevented them from this, but unfortunately these people persisted in it. And وَإِذَا جَاءُكَ حَيُّكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ, and when they come to your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will greet you with such a greeting that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself does not greet you with. In other words, they used to say that the Jews, instead of saying assalamu alaikum, then they used to say assalamu alaikum, that may death be upon you. So these Jews were noted for all that. For example, they used to, as we mentioned in Surah Baqarah, Ra'ina, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to say that consider us, look at us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they used to stretch that word and just to say Ra'ina and say this is our shepherd, na'uzu billah. So here also as we learn akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha, she defended Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she retorted and she told him, Assalamu alaikum wa la'nakum Allahu wa ghadiba. Wa la'nakum Allahu wa ghadiba. That may be upon you, as well as the la'nat and curse be upon you, and may Allah's anger be upon you. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that, then he told, oh Aisha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like rudeness and foul speech. Didn't you hear how I responded? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, alaykum. Also in our times, people who are profess to be Muslims, and they will tell you assalamu alaykum, or they will tell you any other things, which seems like a person thinks that is salam, then yeah, also we shouldn't greet wa alaykum salam, but rather say alaykum. So if they are cursing us, then may that curse be upon you as well. So this is the greeting how we should do to others. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the mu'minin that when you also sit down, then you also do not convene secret meetings that will involve sin and transgression. But وَتَنَاجُوا بِالْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, sit down, have meetings with regards to righteousness and taqwa. Why this is what people do, the munafiqeen, the Jews, they convene with each other and they conspire with one another to cause harm. So this shouldn't be the traits of a believer. If they sit, they make mashura, etc., then the end result and the things that they should discuss is regard about righteousness and about taqwa. Thereafter Allah subhanahu mentions in the ayat of the Quran the Kareem that, before we mention that, it is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for example, that when three people are sitting, then two people should not whisper to one another, or two people should not engage in private conversation in presence of the third person. Why? Because this will cause hurt to him. He will think that now these people are discussing me, and this is natural, this person will become offended. So this also falls under this category of this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, that do not do such things in the present. Where three people, then two people should not whisper to make such a conversation that excluding the third person. The next verse Allah mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا, that O people of Iman, when it is told to you to make accommodate, to make space in a majlis, in a gathering, then fafsahu, then do such a thing, then make space for other people. Why? Yafsahillahu lakum, Allah will accommodate you in His mercy. The background of this verse also, it is mentioned that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Suffa, and the participants of the Badr who had come, and they could not find any place. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that, O people of Iman, that these are Badriyin, now make a place for them. But they were munafiqeen over there and they did not like this idea. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried on with it, that وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. That when it is told to you also to go get up and lean, then you should do so. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry and seeing that no one wanted to make space and make any way for the Badriyin. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them. So yeah, we learn few things as well from this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. If a person is invited at a certain person's house, then if a person takes very long and this will cause inconvenience to the host, then the host has a right to make an announcement that please leave, I got something very, very important, or the host needs privacy of his own, then he is allowed to make such statements. On the same token as well, if for some valid reason at times of need, those are family and close associates, for example, maybe there is a person, who a sheikh or an alim, and there are people are very close to him who are very familiar and close associates of that alim or the sheikh, then he also can courteously request such people to leave the gathering, or in other words, to accommodate the latecomers. So this also falls under the purview of this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. And also we learn from the hadith that one is not allowed to move a person from his place and sit in his place. For example, let's say in this masjid, now the masjid is full and you come late to the masjid. Now you come to, now you look, looking for a place, you can't find place. But you see one person that you know and you come and you tell him, brother, your car lights are on. Or you tell him that there's a cop outside, he's giving tickets, and I think it's a tow truck or your car. So now you, that person goes, first and foremost, you speak in lies, and now you take his place. This is something wrong. So also on this verse of the Quran al-Kareem, that to sit between two people without the ijazat. For example, two people are sitting and you just barge in between. This also is not correct. So these are the things that we learn from the Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Towards the end of this surah, Allah mentions that لَا تَجِدُوا قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَعَبْدُونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. That you will not find a person or a qawm or a nation who believe in Allah and in the last day, that they love those people who are enmity, who cause enmity, who have hatred towards Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though they are their fathers or their sons or the brothers or the close relatives. Then here, under this ayat, there are so many incidents that are mentioned and quoted. For example, the son of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. The son was, his name was Abdullah, and he was a Pakka general mu'min. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was Ra'isul Munafiqeen. He was the leader of the hypocrites. And he made very sarcastic and derogative remarks against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now iman does not permit that when the person speaks against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to a person to sit still. This person, the son, wanted to take revenge and finish his father and kill him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stopped him. Similarly, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his father Abu Quhafa, before he accepted Islam, he also made certain remarks. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had slapped him. And he went, Abu Quhafa went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr, you shouldn't have done this. And for ask forgiveness from your father. Also, in the battle of Badr, where the son of Abu Bakr, Abdul Rahman, he also had not accepted Islam until then. And he told his father, oh my father, in the battle of Badr, I had seen you on many occasions. And if I want, I could have killed you. But because you being my father, that is why I spared your life. Now look at the jawab of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, oh my son, if you had come under the shadow of my sword, then I would have killed you. Because why? You were at that time an enemy to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these ayats were revealed concerning such people. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions towards the end of Surah Al-Hashr, the famous ayat that وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَّا إِلَّا. The fazilat of this is also this mention in the morning and evening du'as. Hazrat Hakim Akhlasa rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioned in the treasures of Quran and the hadith also, that person who reads أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, very close and very similar to أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, but with two qualities, سَمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. He reads this thrice. And then he reads the last three verses of Surah Hashr, from huwa Allahu allazi la ilaha illahu tul wa huwa al-azizul hakim. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, wakkalallahu lahu sab'ina alfa malakin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint 70,000 malaika, and this malaika will make a istighfar on your behalf. And if he reads it in the evening, then also this malaika will be appointed, and that will make the dua of maghfirat for you. And if you have to pass away either on the day or during the night after reciting this, mata shahidan, such a person will die a death of a shaheed. Hazrat Mawlana Umar Palampuri rahmatullahi used to say in one istima, he said that I do not start my day, I do not have any breakfast, anything, until I put 70,000 malaika on guard. When I recite these verses, in other words, when I recite this wazifa, then I start my day and then I have my breakfast, etc. Allah give us the tawfiq of reading this wazifa, inshallah. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah As-Saff mentions that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That, O people of Iman, why do you say such things which you do not practice upon? What's the background of this verse? The Shan and Uzul, it is mentioned, group of companions were discussing amongst themselves that which action is the most dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we come to know, then we'll dedicate our lives and wealth. So these people, the Sahaba, were making very tall claims. So after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called them, and he called each one by their name. And thereafter he told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared jihad as the best action. So thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that it is not appropriate now to show off and make tall claims that I will do this and do that. Because why, when the time comes, you do not know whether you will have the ability or the capability to implement your intentions. Because nothing is in your control. That وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَائِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That say, inshallah, do not say I'm going to do this tomorrow or this or that tomorrow, except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah continues, كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That it is indeed most hateful thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned also in the tafsir of this ayat, that shortly after the Sahaba radiallahu anhu made these claims that we will dedicate our lives and wealth, then shortly after this the battle of Uhud took place, and many of them who made these claims were found lacking. Similarly, another incident is mentioned under this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, where Hazrat Shu'ib radiallahu anhu had killed a certain mushrik, and thereafter another person came and he took credit for that, and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, I was responsible for that. When Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu came to know about it, they exhorted Hazrat Shu'ib radiallahu anhu, go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him that you were responsible for killing the mushrik. Thereafter this verse was revealed as well. So yeah, a person shouldn't say things that he will not practice upon, where it is mentioned in another ayat, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that you command people to do good and you forget yourselves. On occasion of Miraj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by some people who were cutting their lips with scissors made out of fire. Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Ya Jibrail, manhum, that who are these people? And Hazrat Jibrail alayhi wa sallam said that these are the khatibs. These are those people who used to give sermons, bayans or tafsir. And they used to see so many things, but they themselves did not act upon. So this is something very, very important, that a person should act, whatever he says, he should act upon it. But yeah, also the ulama explained, there are two aspects. One is the person to do that action is one duty, and to command people to do good and forbidding from them from evil is also another separate action. So if a person is guilty of not doing one, doesn't mean he should not do the second one. Yes, he will be rewarded, or he will be taken to task. You'll be taken to task for leaving either one of the two. So this is something a person should understand, that a person, even though he's not doing an action, he should command people to do good or forbid them from doing evil. But at the same time, maybe through the tawfiq of him doing this, inshallah Allah will inspire him to do make amal on what he is saying. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the kuffar, what do they wish? يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. That this kuffar, they wish to extinguish the effulgence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their tongues. In other words, they will propagate such propaganda and creating negativity. And today we find in so much in the media, people become so despondent of what is happening. And now people don't want to make any ibadah, etc. What is happening to the Muslims, etc. So now look at the positive side. Those Muslims who are being killed and persecuted and are passing away, inshallah, Allah will give them and elevate the status to that of a shaheed, inshallah. So yeah, also we should make dua for such people, not become despondent. And also with these people, they will create negativity. They will create things in the news, etc. So now to create this propaganda. But Allah says, Allah mutimmu nurihi wa law kariha al-kafirun. Allah is the one who will complete His effulgence even though the kuffar hate it. One alim came down for the jansa and he mentioned that when 9/11 took place, the kuffar thought that this is it, this will be the end of Islam. But the contrary, he mentioned, after 9/11, so many people came to the fold of Islam. So many people wanted to know what is Islam about. And he went to every bookshop and wherever they could get hold of the Quran al-Kareem, he studied the Quran al-Kareem. And alhamdulillah, this was the means of them coming to the fold of Islam. So look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has system. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions towards the end that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah mentions, shouldn't I show you a transaction or a sale that will save you from the punishment? What is that? To believe in Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, again to make jihad. To jihad, make jihad in the part of Allah which are wealth and which are lives. This is something very good for you. Allah will forgive your sins, enter into the jannat, gardens of bliss, beneath which rivers flow, and such dwellings and mansions that you will enjoy yourselves. So these are the ayats that have been revealed concerning this glad tidings for the tijarat or that transaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next surah mentioned in Suratul Jumu'ah, then we know today is the day of Jumu'ah as well. And it was, we know that the Christians had option, were given a choice and they chose Saturday and Sunday. And the Jews had chosen Saturday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His divine mercy had given Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen Friday. So yeah, the Quran mentions, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ. That when you are called when you are called towards Salah on the day of Jummah, then hasten towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave out all transactions and all types of business. So yeah, it is, a person should understand that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Abu Bakr, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was only one azan that was given. And that was the azan before the khatib when he ascends the minbar, and that one azan is given. But as time went on, when now Islam started spreading, now Islam, those people on the outskirts of the masjid, and those who were staying in those areas, they could not hear the azan that was given in front of the minbar. So as Uthman radiallahu anhu initiated another azan, and that was given in the marketplace. And all the sahaba radiallahu anhu, consensus of the sahaba accepted it. And then, and even the Mufassiri mentioned, when we're talking about the azan, then this refers to the first azan. When you hear the first azan, then leave everything, make preparation and come for Jummah Salam. And you should be in the masjid before the second azan. And because it is mentioned in the hadith, when a person comes to the masjid, the person who comes early, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward as if though he has sacrificed a camel. Those who come later on in that, they will get the reward of sacrificing a cow, then a sheep, and then a chicken, and then lastly someone is presenting an egg, a sadaqah. But when the imam now ascends the minbar to give the khutbah, then the malaika, they are taking roll call at the entrance of the masjid. So now as soon as the imam ascends the minbar, these malaika now, they also close the books. And those who come after that, their names are not recorded in such a book. So a person should make a proper preparation. And alhamdulillah, our Shaykh has given us this bayan in the month of Ramadan of the fazilat of Jummah, the amal khasa, etc. What actions to do on the day of Jummah. And today being the day of Jummah, Allah give us a tawfiq of reciting excessive durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also reading Suratul Kaf, and also making a dua as well. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. Now, not all the time now sit in a, for come to the masjid. Now, Jummah is finished. Now, what should you do? فَانْتَشِّرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now, go out into the earth. وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Go out and seek the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively so that you can be successful. Hazrat Iraq bin Malik rahmatullah alayhi, when he used to stand at the threshold of the masjid, and he used to announce, "Oh Allah, you have commanded us to come for the Jummah Salah, and I have responded. And now you have mentioned in the Quran, فَإِذَا قُلْيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that go out in earth. Now Allah, I ask you to farzuqni min fadlik, oh Allah, grant me sustenance out of your grace. And then he used to go out. And that is why the ulama even explained that after Jummah to go out and engage in business, the elders explained that there are 70 times blessings. That the blessings what you will get inshallah will be increased by 70 times. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Munafiqun towards the end, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أُولَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that do not let your wealth and your children become a hindrance towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya zikr means in fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the love of these two things, that is wealth and one's children, can be an impediment in one's engaging in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total engrossment in the love of these things, when it exceeds the bounds, then this becomes a hindrance of fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Shafi Salih said with regards to wealth, a person can have, example in our time, 1 million rand. He can have it in his hand, oh, there's no problem. He can have it in his pocket, no problem. He can even have a check written out for 1 million rand in his top pocket, no problem. But as long as the love for one cent does not enter into the heart. So a person can have how much wealth he wants, no problem. And also with regards to the children, that we should, in another ayat Allah mentions, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ in Surah Taghabun, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأُولَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً, that indeed your wealth and your children are a test, it is a trial. So this is something very, very important, that these things are there to test us. Now if a person overcomes this test, then such a person, inshallah, he will see that he becomes successful in this world, qabr and a year after. But if in that wealth, and now the children dictate upon him, he earns that wealth now to spoil the children and to look after their needs and desires, and he does not worry about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such a person is looking for destruction. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah At-Talaq, one unique aspect of the surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 5 benefits of taqwa. First one is وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مَخْرَجًا, that person who adopts taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him from all problems and difficulties. Secondly, or the second benefit, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, that Allah will grant him sustenance from sources that you don't even perceive where he's going to come from. And thirdly, Allah mentioned another ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that person who adopts taqwa, Allah will make all his affairs easy for him. And another ayat, Allah mentioned, وَلْيُكَفِّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ سَيَّاتِ, that person who has taqwa, Allah will forgive all his sins. And the last one, وَيُؤْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا, Allah will grant him a great abundance of reward. Similarly, in the Quran al-Karim, every place you will find, for example, Allah mentioned in another ayat, إِن تَتَّقُ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have this taqwa, then Allah will grant you a furqan, a discerner, a distinguishing thing, that you can distinguish which is right from wrong, and what is evil from bad, from good, and what is from, what is halal from haram. So these things, Allah, by adopting taqwa, to what is taqwa? Basically, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Ya Aba Huraira, ittaqil maharim takun abdan nas, stay away from haram, stay away from all the disobedience of Allah, you will be regarded as if though you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. In so many ayats, the benefits of taqwa, inna khayra zari taqwa, the best provision a person can take in hajj is taqwa, the best clothes, wa libasu taqwa dhalika khayr, the best clothes a person according to the sharia of taqwa, this is the best. Allah mentioned, inna akramakum inna Allah atqakum, and the most honorable in the sight of Allah is that person who has taqwa. To learn knowledge, whether you are young or old, if you want to learn knowledge, Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ اللَّهُ, that have taqwa, Allah will teach you or grant you the knowledge. So many benefits. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, then inna awla nasi bi al-muttaqoon, حيث ما كانوا, من كانوا حيث ما كان,
Or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever adopts taqwa, then he will be most closest to me, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah. Whoever that person be, whoever may that person be, whether he is a dark-skinned person, or whether that person is staying in the jungle, and that person has taqwa, that person will be closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lastly, the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, which Alhamdulillah was recited in our Fajr Salam, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. That O people of Iman, save yourselves and your family from the hellfire. The hellfire whose fuel is people and stones. So this is a very important injunction. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulan ra'iyati. Every one of you is a guardian, and each one will be questioned about his subordinates. So a person should all the time not only save himself, but his family members as well. That is why as Umar radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are saving ourselves, we understand. But what about our families? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Umar radiallahu anhu that a person should command his children, his family members, his wife and his children to be steadfast on the injunctions of deen and stay away from haram. Unfortunately, today we see good people, for example, the father is in kurta, the mother is in hijab, but when they are walking with the children, and we can't now ascertain whether these their children or not, how they are dressed, etc., how far away from their deen. And many a time, like our Hazrat mentions, that these parents think to themselves and say that when we are small, we are deprived of all this, so let them enjoy themselves. Give them whatever they want. Give them the BBM. And what is the BBM? The BBM is Bahut Bari Musibat. This is the BlackBerry, and we're just giving our children whatever they want. And as many a times also the father is guilty. Sometimes the father, he comes home, no attention towards the children. He leaves everything to the poor mother. She must do the sabak, she must do to the tarbiyat, etc. And if the mother has to complain that the children are being misbehaving, etc., the father is not worried. Why? He's engaged in the sports, he's engaged in the TV, on the internet, and in the newspaper, etc. No attention at all. One woman, and she was getting fed up with the husband. He was reading a newspaper and telling him, and he wasn't listening. So eventually she said, you know, I also wish I was also like a newspaper. So he said, what do you mean? He said, the way you hold the newspaper and how much of attention you give to the newspaper, I wish also I was like the newspaper. So he put the newspaper down and he looked at her and he smiled. He said, oh my darling, I also wish you were a newspaper, because every day I'll get a new one. Ya ayyuhal, and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O people of Iman, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sincere repentance. And what is this repentance, sincere tawbah? That a person forgives, and that a person, these are all the sins. He regrets and nadmu'a tawbah. He regrets over the past sins. And then also he makes a resolution, inshallah, in future, to the best of his ability, he will stay away from gunas. And he will fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes sincere tawbah in this way. And not only that, he will fulfill the rights of the creation. Whatever wrong he has done to people, and he makes amends. Inshallah, such a person, his tawbah will be worthy of acceptance. Allah give us a tawfiq, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس من عبد يقول لا إله إلا الله 100 مرة إلا بعثه الله يوم القيامة ووجهه كالقمر ليلة البدر ولم يرفع لأحد يومئذ عمل أفضل من عمله إلا من قال مثل قوله أو زاد. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, one who recites La ilaha illallah 100 times daily will be resurrected with his face shining like the full moon. None will be able to surpass him in excellence on that day except the one who would recite this kalima more than him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, One who recites La ilaha illallah 100 times daily will be resurrected with his face shining like the full moon. None will be able to surpass him in excellence on that day except the one who would recite this kalima more than him.